want you to take your Bibles for just a few moments and look at Galatians chapter 1 with me this morning. Everyone loves a good rescue story, don't they? Books are written about it, movies are made about it. I love to read rescue stories. One of the most recent ones that I can still remember is 2009, the U.S. Airways Flight 1549 was taking off from New York, and you'll remember seeing on the news that just about a minute after takeoff that they collided with a host of geese, and both engines of that plane went out immediately, and it was completely quiet. And the captain, who now is known as Captain Sully, you remember that they radioed in and said that both of their engines had been lost, and they told him, redirected him to the nearest airport, and he knew really quickly that he was not going to make it to an airport. And so his words to them is that we are going to be in the Hudson. 90 seconds later, he landed that plane between New Jersey and Manhattan in the Hudson River, and through that, 150 passengers, five of the staff that were on the plane, all of them spared. When it landed in the water, you remember all the boats that came to start rescuing people off of that plane. Captain Sully would not leave the cabin until every single person was safely outside of that plane and into a boat. And one of the greatest rescue stories of the last 10 or 15 years. We could tell a lot of military stories of rescue. But this morning I want to share with you for just a few moments the greatest rescue of all time. And it's expressed here in Galatians chapter 1. And let's stand for the reading of God's word just so you can stretch a little bit. We're going to read the first five verses. And then I'm going to make just a couple of points this morning. And we'll be done. But Paul writes here, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches at Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we pray that in just the next few moments that you would open up our hearts to the truth of the Word of God, the truth of your love for us, the truth of our need for you. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you for these men and women, their sacrifice that they make each and every day. We thank you for their families who give up so much as well. And Lord, we pray that you would just pour out an extra blessing upon them and their families. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the remainder of our time together. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. In verse number 3, I want you to notice two key words in verse number 3, and they are the words grace and peace. Grace and peace from God the Father. Grace and peace need to be understood in this way. Basically, grace is the source of our salvation. In other words, without grace, there would be no salvation. There would be no chance of salvation. Grace has been defined as God giving us something that we do not deserve. You and I do not deserve, and Craig even mentioned it. They didn't deserve being rescued by God from that tornado, but God chose to rescue them. None of us deserve salvation, the Bible tells us this, but God came and he sent his only begotten Son into this world on the greatest rescue mission of all time. And I want you to understand just two things this morning that I want to point out, especially from verse number 4. And I want you to say verse number 4 with me if you have your Bibles there. Say it good and loud. It's speaking of Jesus Christ, and it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And so I want you to see, first of all, maybe a little bit of bad news, and it is this, that we are all in need of being rescued because of our sin. Our sin puts us in such a position, in such a condition, that we as sinners need to be rescued. He says he gave himself for our sins. And this is where we see grace show up in our life, because our sin separates us from God, our Creator. You understand that, that God, when he created this world, he created it as a place where we could have perfect relationship and perfect fellowship with God, but he also made us people of free will. When God created us, he did not create us as robots. He gave us a free will of choice. And so, of course, in the Garden of Eden, we know that Adam and Eve made the choice to reject God, to rebel against God, and to sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." See, because of Adam's choice, we're all born with a sin nature. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so the reason that you and I this morning deal with brokenness in our life is because of this thing called sin. God designed this world with a perfect relationship with man in mind, but instead, because of sin, we live in a broken world, don't we? Because we live in a broken world, we are broken people. We're sinful people, and we try to deal with this brokenness in a number of different ways. Some try to deal with this brokenness through substance, and so they try to grab alcohol or drugs or whatever they can to try to escape the brokenness that is in their life. Some try to throw themselves into a relationship thinking, this is what will heal my brokenness. Some even try to put a Band-Aid on it with religion and think, if I can just get religion, then that will be what will help me out of this brokenness. A lot of people think, if I can just make money, if we can live in this house, if I can get this boat, if I can have all of these things and accumulate as much as I can, then that will help me deal with the brokenness. You see, Satan has a lot of fake flotation devices that he throws at us. He throws out these flotation devices thinking that it's going to be the rescue for us, when really it is nothing but something that is intended to drown us even further into our sin. And so there is only one true flotation device that can really rescue us and really save us from this brokenness, from this sin, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus came to this earth on a rescue mission for you and I, and that he gave himself on a cross, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. So we see that our sin puts us in a condition where we need to be rescued. That's kind of the bad news, but here is the good news. And the second point, and the final point, is that Jesus came to rescue because he is a Savior. Not only are we in need of being rescued because of our sin, but Jesus came to rescue because he is a Savior, and that is good news for you and I. I want you to notice again what he says, that he might deliver us, that he might rescue us, that he might save us. And most of you who are in here this morning, who are first responders, you have been in a situation where you have gone to a scene and you have needed to rescue. You have needed to deliver someone. You have needed to save someone. We have people in our church who, in the last year, who are here today with us because an EMT saved their life, rescued them. Miss Jimmy, we could say you were saved physically. You were delivered physically. And we're thankful for the extended time that God has given us with Miss Jimmy. But all of us need to remember that a physical rescue, a physical delivery, for Craig and Bethany being delivered and rescued from that tornado, it's wonderful. We thank God for the extended time. But let me ask you this morning, what about eternity? What about forever? Because it doesn't matter if we live 5 or 50 or 100 years on this life, on this earth, it's all short. It's all short. Life is brief. And then eternity. And then forever. And the greatest rescue that we need is an eternal rescue. And Jesus came to be our rescue. He came as the Son of God to this earth to be our final sacrifice. In John chapter 1, when John the Baptist was introducing him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." That is why he came. And there is no other way to be rescued eternally, look, than to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in the gospel. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. Religion will never help you or I earn favor with God. You say, "Well, I'm a pretty good person. I go to church." There are a lot of people who sit in our churches every single week who will spend, according to the scriptures, who will spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell because they never turned from religion to Jesus Christ. Religion says you have to do, do, do. If you do enough, then you'll be saved. But I want to tell you that a relationship with Jesus Christ isn't about doing, because Jesus has already done the work on the cross of Calvary. And so he says, just put your faith and trust in me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, through belief, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." It's not something you can pay for. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." So salvation cannot be earned by our efforts to try to eliminate sin. It can only be received by our trust in God's promise to forgive our sins through the work of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. Turning from sin and trusting Jesus Christ changes everything. In this life and in the next life. It changes everything. You see, because when you and I have a Savior, remember those first two words in verse number 3? Grace and what? Peace. Let me tell you something. Those two things, peace only comes through someone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't have peace apart from God. But I want to tell you that as a child of God, as a Christian, as someone who has turned from their sin and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Bible says that we have a peace beyond human understanding. No matter what's going on in our world, and I don't know if you've recognized, but our world's getting pretty crazy. The Bible describes it as perilous times. And I'm not a date setter, but I can tell you the Bible does tell us where we should not set dates, but it does say you better notice the signs of the time. And I believe that we are in the last days. I believe that Jesus could come back very shortly. And my question for all of us this morning is, are we ready to meet Jesus? Are we ready to meet God? Do you have more than religion? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you feel that peace in your heart that no matter how hard it gets or how bad it gets in this world and in your life, that God has given you a peace with God because you have made, you have the peace of God because you have made peace with God? Grace and peace both can only come from God. You can't get these any other way. It only comes from God in the assurance that we have an eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Paul put it like this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, speaking of Jesus, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption," or salvation, "through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." There's been a lot of people around us recently that have left this earth. In our community, just a few weeks ago, a 26-year-old young man, that quick. This past week, a 50-year-old man. Last week, I buried my best friend on this earth, 50 years old, who who we say he lost his battle with leukemia, but really he won his battle with leukemia because he is living a lot better life than you are living right now. But I want to tell you that death is no respecter of age. And I'm not here to scare you this morning, but I do want you to be prepared to meet God. I do want you to know that when people stand at your funeral, that they don't have to wonder where you are or whether you went to heaven or not, that you have that assurance and that the people around you have that assurance. John chapter 1 and verse 12, John says this, as many as, what's the next word? Received him. Not achieved him, by the way. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And listen, this morning I want to give anyone who does not know for sure that if you were to leave here today and something were to happen to you and you would leave this earth, there ought to be no doubt in your heart and mind where you would wake up. You can know that. The Bible says that we may know that we have eternal life. And so you can know that by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Matt if he would to come, but I want to show you two verses as we close. And I want you to think about these verses with me, this wonderful promise from Scripture in Romans 10, 9, and 10. This is a great promise, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart the gospel. What I say the gospel was, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, say the next phrase with me good and loud. Thou shalt be saved. Say it again. Thou shalt be saved. That's a promise, isn't it? If you'll speak with your mouth and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then look with the next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, well, I got to get some things taken care of first. I've got to understand a little bit more. No, you don't. You just have to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll take you just as you are. We don't clean up in order to get saved. We get saved and then he cleans us up. You don't understand everything about your iPhone, but you use it, don't you? You don't have to understand it. You have to believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried in the ground, and that he rose the third day. And if you'll do that and you'll confess him with your mouth, the scripture's clear, you'll be saved. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes, no one looking. If you've never had a time, you can't go back in your mind right now to a time in your life where you called out to Jesus for salvation, and you live every day not knowing where you'll spend an eternity. I want to ask you right now to pray to God, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but listen, just saying these words won't save you any more than quoting something out of a book will. But if you will say this prayer to God, or a similar prayer from your heart, according to what we just read, God will save you right now, right here. And you will never have to spend another day wondering where you're going to spend an eternity. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you to just say a prayer like this. God, I am a sinner. And because I am a sinner, I need to be rescued. And I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you were buried, and I believe that you rose from the grave. And today, I turn from my sin, and I turn to you. And then just say these words that a man in the Bible said, and God said he left there justified. Be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I trust you right now. I wonder if there's anybody here. You say, I've never called out to God for salvation, but I just prayed that prayer and I just trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you just raise your hand and let us see that hand this morning? I just prayed that prayer with you and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. How many of you would say, there's not a doubt in my mind? I know 100% sure. I can go back in my mind right now to a time where I called out to God for salvation. Would you, as just a testimony, raise your hand? I know that for sure. No doubt in my mind. Many, many hands. Christians, let me ask you, our time is short. If you've been rescued, what are you doing to throw out the lifeline to someone else? Time is short. We don't have much longer. What are you doing to give somebody a chance to be rescued? People you work with, people that you see in restaurants and in gas stations, and family members that you love, but you're scared to death to talk to them about eternity. Our time is short. May God give us an urgency. How many of you this morning would say, the Lord spoke into my heart this morning, I need to be, as Craig said, somebody that's been awakened to people around me that need Jesus. Would you just raise your hand with mine? God, help me to be awakened each and every day to people around us that need Jesus. We're going to give a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, we want to encourage you to come. If you've never been saved this morning and you want somebody to talk to, we want to encourage you to come. If this is where God is leading you and your family to serve Him, then we want to invite you to come. Let's stand together. Brother Chris is going to lead us in a song. Come if God has spoken to your heart this morning.